We all love Ron and Elena Dornan, and we're sorry to say that yesterday Elena's mom, Elena Alvarez, passed away while being in Florida. She was living there with her family, and pray for Ron and Elena and all the family down in Florida. They'll be gathering there for the family time, and you know, any kind of worship time I think will happen down there. And Mrs. Alvarez was very a very joyful person, very loving. If you met her, she immediately made an impact on your life. You know, very warm toward people, and loved her family, loved the children and grandchildren. So we thank God for her life, the gift of heaven through faith in Jesus, and want his comfort to be with Elena and Ron. Now, Elena's down in Florida, Ron heading there eventually, but keep reaching out to the family, especially when they all get home. That will be very helpful to them. Also, remember Karen Watkins having a big surgery on Thursday, for God to give grace in recovery for Karen. Well, this is the 22nd book of the Old Testament coming up here, Song of Songs. Hard to believe, coming up, there's only 39 of them, but you might think of it as different ways God says, I love you. Okay, I created you. I want you in my following, as it were. And so he gives us this wonderful book called Song of Songs. And it's a love story between Solomon and one special woman. And one of the things we can know right off the bat, you know, Solomon had a lot of relationship challenges and problems, to say the least. We don't know whether Solomon had this experience with this one really great gal who would be his wife. We don't know whether it was his first wife or it was a wife that he met after literally hundreds of attempts at having some kind of family life that just didn't fit well together. So that's between Solomon and the Lord. But one message from the Song of Songs is that, hey, wherever we're at in terms of relationships, solid for all our lives, or many difficulties around along the way, much brokenness, we can have hope and life and love provided by God. Okay, he would do this for Solomon. And he knew, you know, whether this was the first wife, difficulties to follow, or one he met along the way, God would still bless this man and this one woman. So you have, it's really a sermon almost on monogamy, you might say. Solomon, one man, one woman, happened to be a Shumanite woman, very young gal there, and gives us an example of what the Bible says life could be like. Okay, and the principles in there apply certainly to spouses, but also to how you love unconditionally your brother and sister in Christ, your neighbor, your friend. Okay, so try to get God's heart for the people in your life from the Song of Songs. Song of Songs. And good instruction for our culture, which struggles with, you know, what does it mean to be married? I don't know. What do we do, you know? Here's the principle. One man, one woman, the Lord, bringing them together. Okay? Really, if the Supreme Court read the Song of Songs, it would have ruled differently recently when it comes to saying, well, this is a marriage over here, you know. And some would say, looking at what Christians say, which we basically say, oh, we're followers of Jesus, so we believe marriage is one man and one woman, and you start off where you're at, you know, with God's help and grace and healing. But some would say, oh, Christians, you guys don't have any business telling people what marriage is because your marriages are so messed up as they are, and, you know, you don't know how to do it right, so who are you to tell us how what marriage should be? No, that's a different issue. We would say, yeah, that's right. We don't know how to do marriage right, but we're trying to do marriage according to what God says. See, you're talking about a different issue when you say marriage is anything you want it to be. That's a different issue. Solomon could fail 300 times, and he could still say, I want to do it God's way. See, and that's not what the culture wants to say. They say, we want to do it our way. And God says, no, I love you more than you love yourself. I know how you can love people in a great way. And so do it my way. So you have Solomon and the one gal and the Lord offering that to us. So remember, no matter how much pain, brokenness you have in friendship and marriages, God can start you off on the right path. Hope springs eternal for friendships and marriages and Christian relationships, okay? How you treat your neighbor. Hope springs eternal. That's what Alexander Pope said. Perhaps he was thinking of the Pirates. That's what the broadcaster said. The bottom of the ninth, the Pirates are trailing the Cubs 7-0. No men on base. No balls, two strikes. And the sports announcer says, well, hope springs eternal. You know, anything can happen. You can get the rally going. But that could be the story of your relationship with life. Okay? God can start us out there. Now, in the Song of Songs, friendship and marriage are offered as gifts to God. We treat them with gratitude, gladness. We treat them as a gift. We don't run them through the mud or get cynical about them. We don't say, no, I'm above all that, you know. I'm a spiritual guy. I'm close to the Lord. So I don't need friends. I don't need to be close to anybody. No Christian fellowship. That's really, if that's said, that's usually said out of a painful heart that would like something different, but it's not there. And so we want to look at the Bible's point of view on relationships in Song of Psalms. Songs. I don't know why I keep saying Psalms. But Song of Songs is really, it's an illustration of Christ's love for people. It truly is. And like Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 5, for this reason, a man will be with one wife, and the two shall become one. And this is a great mystery, and I take it to mean Christ and the church. So he's saying the marriage here points you to how much God loves every person who would turn to him. Okay, and it shows us too that if you love Christ, you'll love church, because Christ and church are one. You have the perfect one, Christ, united with the imperfect one, believers, and they are one. Okay, so if you love Christ, you'll love the church. And we honor the Lord in that way. So here's some strong love God gave Solomon and his wife, and have some practical things about friendships and marriage next week. But here's some big picture things. One message in Song of Songs is, tell me, you whom I love, where do you graze? That doesn't sound too romantic, but back then is, I want to be where you are. Like in the book of Ruth, where she said, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. This is time spent together. Solomon and the gal wanted this. Okay, and so sometimes getting ready to be married or marriage renewal, you go through a test called a love language test. And there's five love languages, and one of them is time spent together. Of all the couples I've seen get married, nobody ever failed to pick time spent together as a way of expressing love. The other ones are words, touch, serving, and what's that last one? Gifts. Okay, but nobody ever said, no, I don't want time spent together. I want a friend, but I want the friend to stay away from me. I want to be married, but I hope, you know, I only see my spouse once a week. That's enough. Otherwise, they're under my feet and get out of my hair and those kind of things. But time spent together, a gift from God. Take that for your soul. Take that in the one sent to you. You know, a good relationship, somebody said, is like this. You're close, and then you have different experiences. Then you're close, and you have different, and you're close. But the closeness is there from God. It's It's a good picture of Christian fellowship too. Okay, not like this where you just hang around each other all the time, but you help and care, then you're off with responsibilities. Then you help and care, and you're off with responsibilities. And so that's a gift from God. He provides for family life, friends, brother to brother, and so on. He brought me into his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. It's an old song that people sing, reminding us that human love is a celebration. God's love for you is a celebration. Often pictured in the Bible is a big banquet. How would the Lord like to be close to you? A big banquet that he gives on our behalf. That's quite a humbling thing. And so desire of closeness is there also. I will search for the one my heart loves. That's also an expression of the one to the other in a healthy relationship. Requires some effort. When God loved us, he didn't say, I'm just going to have nice feelings for you. I'm going to just, you know, send you a little bit of rain, a little bit of sunshine. Everybody feel the love? That's great. No, he came personally. He sought us. He came to seek and to rescue those who were, our souls were lost. He said, I'm going to search for the one I love to be close. Isn't it great that God is like that? And then this next one is a really bound by the culture of the day, but we can get some inspiration from it, I think. You say to your loved one, you know, your hair is like a flock of goats. Goats must have been really good looking back then. Your teeth, not one of them is alone. She was obviously a young gal. All the teeth were there. And Solomon appreciated that in a praise to God. Okay. This basically shows, thankfulness for the simplicity of life, human beauty. She's fantastic. He's handsome. And that's the way it is. And we should be very glad, you know, for the beauty of the loved ones around us, for the beauty of people. People are made in God's image, his fingerprint upon them. And then this closeness expressed, I am my lover's and my lover is mine. I belong to my lover and his desire is for me. That feeling of, oh, that person really cherishes me. That's a guy's responsibility to set the tone for that. Gal's responsibility to say, yeah, I'm so glad to be loved and let me love you back and have mutual respect going back and forth. So I belong to my lover and his desire is for me. And God wants us like that. He says, I want you to be a part of my children and my family. Great, strong desire. I like the old song, now I belong to Jesus, Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for eternity. And he says, I can give you, in this life anyway, as long as we both shall live, kind of relationship. And then the next one, who the Lord is, you know, we look to him and his strength. We say God loves us first, and he loved us before we knew him, and the way he comes and presents himself to us, you know, from God's heaven to a manger, from great riches to the poor, came the Holy Son of God, a little child. He came to love us, and he took all that initiative, and because he loves us, we learn to love. Just like if you have young ones, you teach them how to love by what you do. The Lord does that for us. And then another point about God's love, which is the cement of the relationship. Okay, again, friend-to-friend relationship, neighbor-to-neighbor, brother-to-brother, spouse-to-spouse. God loves us for knowing our mess and when we're at our worst. How true that is. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, still powerless. I couldn't get to know God on my own. He had to come introduce himself to us. He does that through Jesus. And picture yourself, which all of us probably have experienced more than once, at our most rebellious, sinful, ornery, nasty self. You know, and there we were, against others, against God, or against ourselves. And at that very moment, God said, as one good preacher said, God said, you are mine. You belong to me. That's His grace and mercy. Reaching out to us, foreknowing our worst times of how we would be. And He begins to share that ability with the people in our lives, how we relate to them. Okay. That love and respect we have for people becomes, even from person to person, unconditional love and respect. Can you believe that? Can you imagine how different your relationships would be with people in your life, with people in the community, you know, school teachers, salespeople, gal at the checkout counter? Unconditional love and respect. Why? Because God puts that into the human soul by His Spirit, and He could do it. And then God loves always. There's an always factor in healthy love. Jesus said, I will be with you even to the end of the age. Okay, His love is stronger than the weather. No fair weather love with God. All the time. Sometimes tough, sometimes tender. And not without storms or rough roads. Being loved by God and loving others, we are going to experience, even if you were on a desert island, you know, just with you and God, and, oh, wouldn't that be fantastic? You'd be experiencing all these things, because it's a broken world. Or if you did find Mr. and Miss Perfect, you know, for yourself there, where you wanted to bless them, these experiences you'll go through together. But not just the two of you, the three of you, the Lord and you and your spouse. Hurt and celebration, grief and praise, weeping and laughing, hate and intense anger, but love that lasts forever. Something that He could provide. Now, if Solomon knew it, and we know how broken he was, then you and I can know it also. And what Paul would say in the Bible is, he would want us to know the greatness of Christ's love, high and wide and long and deep is that love. And talks about other things in Corinthians, says, you know, their obedience is good and spiritual gifts are good and go for all these things. But he said, hey, the greatest of these is God's unlimited love. You're loved by God. Receive Him and His love. Put your trust in Him. He's very good. He's very faithful. And He teaches us how to love. We're thankful for that. Let's pray together. Lord, down in the human soul, we're really, You made us to be loved and to love. And that's the only way life works well for us. And it doesn't even go well sometimes when we do love. But when we love, we know we're teaming up with You, as it were, to follow You, to pass on the great love of Christ. Thank You for His love for us. We didn't care about God or have much interest in Him. He sent Christ, giving His life on that rescue mission at the cross, rising from the dead. Might we know life and life forever with You, dear Jesus, by simply saying, Jesus, be my Lord. And Lord, help us to love the people around us like we've been loved. I know from in my own life, I'm an average husband, average dad, but with Christ's love, yeah, I'm a Christian husband with a lot of love. I'm a Christian dad with a lot of love, and neighbor and friend. But work this work in our souls, Lord. We certainly can't do it without You. Give comfort to people in need. We pray for the ones going through rough times, the Dornan family, and give grace to them, the Watkus, Karen Watkus, Virginia Wilson, Carolyn Azevedo, Pearl Buchanan, your help against cancer, other people, Lord, who face that news recently. Give them strength and peace and remission. Pray for the families in Oregon missing their loved ones. And where can they go for help but to lean on God, lean on each other? Pray for those affected by the storm. Please be merciful to them. And be with Kendra and Nick getting married this weekend. Bless them real good. Thank you for their lives. Hear our silent prayers as we come to your table.